went over like how to teach Bible is more of the studying part. Okay, this part is more about the teaching part. Okay, if you're doing it right, you might have like a whole bunch of, let's just say, by the way, this is my notes. Every week, every day, I write down things I learn, okay? Sometimes, let's just say this is an example. You have all these notes of all everything you study. If you've done right, if you study right, you're going to have more information than you can teach, okay? So say this after me. If done right, you'll have more information than what you can share. Okay. I say this because sometimes when we teach a Bible, sometimes some of us could be addicted of showing everything we learn. Okay, the reality is you're gonna be like a chef. Okay, you're gonna bring that nice blade out, and you're gonna figure out, okay, how do I cut this meat in a way that'll serve the people the filet mignon, right? You're not gonna serve scraps of meat first, but to serve the main what course? Okay, no rabbit trails, everything else. So today I want to really focus on that part of how do you teach. How do you teach the Bible? This is going to be focusing on giving the information, okay? But I think this is important because sometimes people... Have you guys ever seen someone teach and they're just a run-on commentary? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, they just... Like, you don't know where it's going. It's just... It's just like, you don't know what verse even sometimes, right? By the way, as a gauge for me, if you're teaching, this is the gauge I use. Now, I know I normally don't notice people, but I pay attention to Victor. If Victor is falling asleep on you teaching, you're doing it wrong, right? Because if he's hungry for the word and he's falling asleep, then, man, there's something wrong. And by the way, if you're married, pay attention to your spouse. If my wife is falling asleep on my sermon, then that means I didn't have a good week with her. Yeah. You feeling me? With sanctification, okay? If she's like this, then you know I'm in trouble, right? I probably wouldn't be preaching and teaching, okay? So, but all that's to say, at the same time, when we teach, we want to teach in a way that is best for people to minister to. Again, we're not man-pleasing people, okay? But we want to teach in a way that's helpful for them to be able to listen, okay? So a lot of this today, we're going to be looking at this. Oh, whoa, my purpose statement is wrong, okay? Part two of our series, How to Teach the Bible, okay? So, okay, let's just say, remember last time we looked at all those Matthew 18 and all those verses, okay? Now, how do you put all these information together? I think the very first thing you need to do in terms of this, of making a sermon to deliver to people, is find the main idea of the passage, okay? Turn with me real quick to 2 Timothy 2.15. 2 Timothy 2.15, when we turn there, Dao seems very happy and motivated. I see him turning the Bibles ready. Dao, would you be able to read 2 Timothy 2.15?
Do your best to present yourself to God as one who, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Yeah. I would say this verse is probably the capstone for everything else we're following today. That we want to be, what, accurately handle the word of God well, even in our delivery. Because sometimes people could have where they study well, but then how to communicate that, we could kind of hinder that process, okay? So I would even say that we handle accurately well, including our delivery, okay? Including our delivery, okay? Recall, we need to handle God's word carefully and accurately. And as an application of that, I think we need to preach the main idea of every passage, okay? By the way, if your main sermon is looking at a passage and it does not match at all with the passage you're teaching, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Probably
not so good, to say the least, right? Like what Mr. Burns said, you know, in terms of an euphemism, right? Language. It's probably not a good idea if you're going to teach a main thing and you're going to miss it, okay? The main purpose. Or even worse, if it contradicts it, okay? If it contradicts even the whole, the flow of what it's trying to do. You don't want that, okay? So in order to be able to faithfully preach a whole text, I would always say you want to find out what's the main idea of any passage you're teaching, okay? And then whatever that main idea is, you then go ahead and teach it, okay? I'm reading a quote here from a guy named Andrew Nesley, okay? Of all those books of hermeneutics, I actually like this guy a lot, and this book that came out, how to understand and apply the New Testament. They all have another one in the Old Testament too. But this is what his quote says. But in the end, what we preach is the point and argument of the text as informed by this backdrop, but not replace it, okay? So it's going to be the text that tells us what we're going to say, okay? And if it doesn't say what it is, then you're doing it wrong, okay? As an example, okay, what we would do is first and foremost, read the whole passage. By the way, I think what makes the longest part for me for sermon preparation is not just only the studying, but all throughout the way of saying, what is it I'm going to say? What is the main purpose of this text? So the whole time, the big question in my mind is, what is this passage I'm studying all about? In one sentence, okay? You should be able to say in one sentence. So the first thing is read the whole passage. What I like to do in the beginning is I just read the passage on my own, and write down what I think is the main sentence is. And that's going to be a draft, okay? Because that's subject to change. Because when you read and study more, you're going to be discovering, oh, I just made assumptions. Mm-hmm. But now that I study more details, okay, I think this passage is really more about focusing on X, Y, or Z. Okay, does that make sense? So, say this after me. Read the whole passage.
Read the whole passage.
And write down.
Write down.
In one sentence.
One sentence.
What the passage is about.
What the passage is about.
So how many sentence?
One
sentence, okay? If you can't summarize in one sentence, you're doing it wrong. Because I don't want, you don't want to go up there and then a whole paragraph. Because why? People's attention is short, okay? By the way, when is people paying attention the most in a sermon? In the beginning, okay? Hopefully in the end, but in the end is, so I know sometimes certain preachers, they have a really good introduction. If you ask me, I'm actually less worried about the introduction, but I'm really worried about the conclusion, okay? It's like a plane. When the plane, you take off, it's rough, whatever, but it's how you land, okay? You want to land, you want to hit a home run in the end, okay? You could have a rough day in the beginning, rough day in the middle, but no matter what, you should always have the responsibility of what? Ending well, okay? That means even when we teach, even when we mess up, don't be like, oh, you know what, I messed up. Hey guys, I'm so sorry. No. Just keep teaching. Make sure you correct what's wrong in theologically, but also make sure no matter what, as long as you're breathing and speaking, you're going to land that baby well. You understand me? You're going to land that plane on the carrier, and you want to land it well, okay, no matter what happens, okay? But by the way, that takes most work in the end, I would even say, okay? I think my effort is more focusing towards the ending it well, more than even the introduction, okay? So, but then at the same time, you don't want to mess up the introduction by, hey guys, let me tell you what the main point is. The main point is, Paul went to Laodicea. It was like, just one sentence, okay? One sentence, okay? By the way, it also makes us clarify if we understand what it is also as well. I think the key of understanding is if you could simplify, right? If you could teach it Barney style, okay? If you could make it shotgun style, break it down apart, and Sesame Street, whatever you're teaching, okay? So read the whole passage, write it down, okay? How many sentences?
One sentence.
Okay, your main idea sentence should be one sentence, okay? Then the question you're trying to answer is, what does this text say, okay? It's not you saying, oh, how could, what does this text mean for my feeling and, my fuzzy wuzzies and, no. It's, what does it say objectively, okay? What does it say objectively, okay? Even as you're studying the text, keep this question in the back of your mind. What does it say? What is this one? You're trying to look for that one sentence of what this whole passage is about, okay? And after all your studies, then you go revisit again. After all your studies, you revisit your question, okay? Or your purpose statement. And you know what? If I could tell you, I never get my first sentence right. Could I say this? Okay? That's because what study reveals, like, oh, I just read my assumptions into it. Mm-hmm. But as I'm reading more, it's like, whoa, no, that doesn't fit with the context. It sounds good if you fortune cookie it, but you want to read things in its context. We're not fortune cooking the Bible out of context, okay? So the second point is you will be changing. You'll be writing down again, revisiting after you're studying, what is the main sentence? What is the main point of the passage? Okay, point number one, I know Andrew just came in. Find the main idea of the passage. Oh, by the way, Andrew already knows this, obviously, right? He's a pastor and all that, okay? And he trains men to teach this, okay? So sometimes, by the way, you have to also realize when you're looking at a main passage, this is the hard part for me sometimes, is I don't know how much passage you pick, okay? But it's better to begin in the beginning to pick too much passage than too little, okay? Then you just shave. Does that make sense? Okay? That's hard for me, if I could be honest with you. Sometimes I think, I'm going to preach, like this Sunday, I'm actually vowing to preach the end of Romans 7. And I hope tonight, when I'm hitting the commentaries after I'm done with all my translations, I hope tonight, it's been a busy weekend, I hope tonight I don't have to shave anymore. Because just because I do want to, I know everyone like, yeah, let's keep going, right? Okay? So let's go through an example. Look at with me Romans 1. We're going to practice as an application. I want to read Romans. You guys look through Romans 1, 18 to 32. You guys can read it quietly. And write down what is the main point of Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. You guys all have sticks with ink? Or a cell phone that has a notepad, okay?
I have a cell phone with a notepad.
Okay. So read Romans 1, 18 to 32. This is an exercise. And really, the purpose you're trying to look for is, what is the main idea of this passage, okay? I'll give you guys exactly a minute, okay? Speed read. If possible, write it down also, so that way we hold you to, what it is. So it doesn't change when someone is better, okay? Give you guys a minute. Romans 1:18 to the end of the chapter. Okay. And when you guys are done, you guys could just raise your hand. And then when I shake my head, that means you can put it down as affirmation. Again, the exercise is finding the main idea of that passage, okay? Okay, from what you guys read, what do you guys say is the main idea? Daniel Chen, what is the main idea of Romans 1:18 onwards? And by the way, it's okay to be incorrect or not fully the whole thing, but you know, just the ballpark, okay?
God has displayed his wisdom and power.
Okay.
But humanity has, like, has failed to, like, fully appreciate it in exchange for lies.
Okay, good, okay. That's a good one sentence right there, okay? Kind of long, but that's really good, okay? Anyone else? What is this passage about? Eric, what is Romans 1:18-32 about?
I'm not as fast of a reader as everyone else because I stopped.
Okay, but even from what you read thus far. From what you've read.
That I guess mankind has rejected God.
Okay, good.
For a lie.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm interested.
Good, okay. Now I'm going to ask Mr. Burton or Victor. What'd you say? Romans 1, Victor.
I just put God has made himself clearly known to men, but they reject him, and so he gives them over to their sin.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Mr. Burton,
I'm sorry. Say amen. Well, I just said man has rejected God and is completely ungodly and depraved.
Good. Right there, beautifully stated, right? All you guys stated very well. Whatever way it is, you guys capture the whole idea as man's sinfulness, okay? I would even add a little bit more to that, not to take away, you guys did excellent, is man is sinful is why God's wrath is being poured. Look at the beginning of verse 18, right? The wrath of God is being revealed in heaven. And this question is, why is this wrath being revealed? What is it that's wrong about man? And that's the whole purpose. Suppressing the truth, you know, tolerance of sin, all of that is described here, okay? So if I were to write one sentence, is the depravity of man that leads God to pour out his wrath, or why we deserve the wrath of God, okay? So that's what it is. Now, notice the exercise. I think that's very important, because if you're if you don't know the main idea, guess what? Do you think the others would? If you're going to teach without knowing what the main idea is, do you think the people would know the main idea? By the way, if you know the main idea and you're teaching, are there still some people that still don't know what you're saying up there? Yes, right? Some people don't doze off, don't pay attention, that kind of thing, or just had a bad day that day, okay? So how much more if you already don't even know what this whole passage is about in one sentence? What makes you be able to, what? Share, okay? With it. By the way, this one main idea is very, very important for everything else that's to follow, okay? So main idea in how many sentences?
One,
okay? So don't forget, one sentence, not a paragraph, not two pages, one sentence, okay? Uno, right? Uno, sentence, okay? One, okay? So we drill it into our mind. One. Only one sentence capturing the whole thing, okay? Let's go on now to the second point. Oh, by the way, let's turn with me to Matthew 18 as another example. Let's just say you're thinking this Sunday you're ambitious. I'm going to read through Matthew 18 to 21, chapter 19, verse 12. By the way, do you think you might have grabbed quite a big chunk of scripture to teach?
Yeah.
I would say so, okay? But let's just say you want to preach as much text as possible, but at the same time, you also want to respect the logical one main idea of each passage, okay? But when you read Matthew 18 and 19, do you think it's kind of hard to preach both Matthew 18, 21 and onwards, and Matthew 19 in terms of making one sentence out of it? Or one main idea? I would say yes, right? Because what is Matthew 18, verses 21 onward? What is it about?
Forgiveness,
okay. What about Matthew 19, verses 1 to 12? What is that about? Is it about forgiveness?
Divorce.
Yeah, it's divorce, okay. Now, of course, we would say, you know, if you forgive someone, hopefully you don't divorce, right? But at the same time, if you think about it, there are actually two different focus, right? Two different main idea of these passages. Number one is focusing on forgiveness. The second one is focusing on divorce. Now, they're interrelated, but for the purpose of teaching, you want to teach the one main idea of whatever that passage is. So let's just say you have this passage, then what do you realize? You need to what? Get the scissor out and what? Cut. Right? Focus on one logical main idea at a time. and save that for next week. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay. So you're going to be focusing on what? Focusing on forgiveness first, okay? Because then as a result of your study, you discover, oh, okay, you might in the beginning say, oh, just, because by the way, sometimes the Bible's chapter order isn't necessarily, you can't just say, oh, I'm just going to preach a whole chapter 18. Well, I guess you can. You know, Calvary Chapel does that a lot. There's certain churches that do that. And there's nothing wrong with it. But I believe it's better to try to teach one logical thought at a time, okay? So one topic at a time. So you want to preach on forgiveness first, okay? That's an example of sometimes why you need a cut, okay? And why sometimes I cut also as well when I'm preaching, just to explain my philosophy, is I realize, okay, wow, I have 7 reasons not to sin. Oh, wait. 7's kind of hard for everyone to remember. So what am I going to do? I'm just going to bring the scissor and cut, okay? This week we're going to look at 4 reasons. Next week we'll look at 3 reasons. Does that make sense? Okay? Just to logical order, okay? Let's go on also as well, okay? Let's trace the argument of the passage, okay? After seeing what the main idea is about, next we must trace the argument of the passage. Know this, the passage you're reading is not a bunch of unrelated sentences, okay? When you read the passage, you know, sometimes we look on Facebook, as you're scrolling down, each thing you read on status, they're not related to the second one, okay? May I say this? The Bible is not like that. You don't read the Bible, it's like, okay, let me read Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, but it has nothing to do with 19, verse 2, okay? Actually, the whole passage, the verse are all, the every sentence, every claim, every statement of truth is related. They're focusing on the main, what? Idea, right? By definition, right? It's focusing on the main idea. So I think our goal is actually to trace the argument of the passage, okay? And this could get really complicated. This is where I actually think knowing Greek is most helpful. Believe it or not, I think sometimes we could think, oh, Greek, the biggest thing is knowing the meaning of the words. I actually think the biggest thing, the paying dividends of knowing Greek for the pastors, is not so much of knowing the meaning of words. I think the biggest thing is actually seeing the structure of the argument by paying attention to prepositions, participles, and connection words. Okay, then you see, oh, I can see, I could just look at the preposition and just preach the prepositions. Because the preposition indicate to me the clause, okay? But then we can also kind of have the idea with the English too. So you want to track the argument, okay? You want to track the argument. It's our job to investigate and discover, not make things up, of why, of what everything it says with each passage, with each word, with each phrase. Like, what is God doing? What is he trying to explain, defend, or apply in regards to the main, what, idea, okay? In regards to the main idea. How many main ideas every passage? There's only one, okay? One main idea, okay? If you look at Matthew 19 as divorce, well, that's just focus. That's another pericope, okay? Another section, okay? So pay attention to connection word. I think how do we do this? Now, why is this important? Is because I think this is going to shape how you deliver, okay? But it does take a lot of work. I know that, okay? Half my time, I do spend about 20 hours for Sunday sermon. Half the time is studying the Greek translation. The other 10 is figuring out, wait, how am I going to cut? And what am I going to share on Sunday in terms of outlining and everything? And I think good outlines take a while. Sometimes you need to just sleep overnight. Sometimes you just have to tinker with it, okay? So the way to apply is, first and foremost, pay attention to connection word. Connected, such as the word but, therefore, right, is very important, that kind of thing. If, then, that kind of thing. So you're paying attention, okay? And look at how each proposition relates to each other. What I mean by proposition is claim of truth, okay? If you could read that, you know, a section that's claiming one truth, that's one proposition or one idea. And you're asked, how does it relate, okay? Now, the list I have here, I'm not going to go through all of this. These are some of it, not all, okay, of different ways passages could relate to one another, okay? It could be, actually, the most common one, if you look with me, the third page, point number 3, I think this is the most important one, is looking for ground and inference, right? Whenever Scripture says for, right, especially in the epistles, what is that? It's giving a reason for whatever it's saying, okay? Or because or since, okay? That's the ground. Or inference. And when it says, therefore, it's realized, oh, everything it says, now this is what follows. This is the conclusion or the application, okay? Let's actually look at this for just for our practice. Let's turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. For the rest of our time, we'll be camping out in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 18 to 20, okay? 3 verses, but I think 3 verses is already quite a lot of doing the work here, okay? 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. Could I have Eric read 8? Actually, yeah, 8. Eric read verse 18. Mr. Byrne read 19. And 20 is Da. Is that okay?
Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body.
So, I'm sorry, what passage?
Sorry, 1 Corinthians 16,
okay.
Verses 18 to 20. Well, we should
16?
Be, yeah.
16 or
6? Verses 18 to 20. 1 Corinthians 6, sorry.
Oh, 6, okay, I heard 16. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there is a 1 Corinthians 16. But there's no verse 19, I think. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. Yeah.
Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?
Mm-hmm. And then,
you are bought at price. Therefore, honor God with your body.
If I could say one thing, you guys could learn from one bad example of mine, is what? Speak slowly, right? And clearly. Okay, so in this passage here, what would you guys say is the main idea? What is the main idea? Actually, why don't you guys write it down? It's so short enough. I want to actually do this practice. Write it down, maybe in the back of the sheet. By the way, it will change as we go along, okay? Write it down before we, ask you guys. What is the main idea of chapter 6, verse 18 to 20?
I don't have a...
You have a phone?
I have a phone.
Okay. You can write it on your notepad, right? You guys need more time? Writing down what's the main idea? Okay, I'll give you some more time.
I have one.
You already have that? Okay. Do you need a pen or stick with ink or phone or?
No, I don't have my pen.
Okay. Who here needs more time? Raise your hand. Okay. Is that hand raised, Victor, or you're just scratching your head?
I'm just scratching my head.
Okay.
Okay. You should watch it more often.
What? I don't know. Okay, this is recorded. I was having an audio. Okay, anyways. Okay, Victor, the one who was scratching his head. What would you say is in one sentence, what is chapter 6, verse 18 to 20 about? In one
I think maybe flee from sexual morality.
Okay, flee from sexual morality. Okay, anyone else? Go ahead.
God has paid for your redemption in blood, so take care of your body.
Okay. Okay, good, okay. Okay, I like both. Okay, by the way, this will be subject to change as you go along, okay? But at least you have a ballpark. You start with somewhere. Right. So then you could, what? I think sometimes preparing sermons is almost like building a space station, right? Nobody just flies and put everything all at once. They just go in stages, one at a time, bringing things up there, okay? So here we see in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20, my idea, I would say, is actually why believers must flee from sexual immorality, okay? Why believers must flee from sexual immorality, okay? So you just look at this main idea first, okay? And then following the thing is just paying attention then, right, to the other connection, okay? I think the main idea why I think it is because the first two letters, two words is what? Flee immorality, right? Then you ask, what is everything else that follow? What's all that about? How does that fit in? I think as you read, I think it's really giving the reasons why. You flee. Would you guys agree?
Sure. Yes.
Right? When it says, every other sin a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his body. What is he trying to say? He's trying to say one of the reasons why you should not, what? Commit sexual immorality, right? In verse 19, or, by the way, if you already determined verse 18, second half, is already one reason why. When you see the word or, you know it's probably connecting. It's probably another reason that's giving. Does that make, with that right? Okay. Now, can I say this? Growing up, I was really bad with grammar, okay? My mom, I remember, bought me an English grammar book, and I thought, why would she buy me an old Victorian grandma? That's what I was thinking of, okay? Because I didn't understand, okay? But if I could say this, it's actually my joy of the love of the Word of God, because I want to know what God said, that actually helped with my grammar. I'm not all there, okay? But at the same time, I also think the implication of what we do does also shape how we learn elsewhere in life, okay? Or do you not know that your body is a temple who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? In verse 20, the word for, what is there for? For often tells us what?
It's a conclusion.
It's a conclusion, okay. Or even also as well a reason, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, that's determined by context, okay? Let's read it. It says, for you have been brought with a price. Does anything else earlier before hint that you're brought with a price? I would think not necessarily. But at the same time, this is introducing truth. Now he's talking about being brought for a price. I think it's very likely a reason. There's now how many reasons? A third reason for why you should not commit sexual immorality, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the conclusion, therefore, what? Glorify your God in your body, okay? By the way, if you're paying attention, you'll notice there's two commands. The first one is a prohibition in verses 18, flee immorality. And the second one is glorify your body in Christ. You wonder, how do you glorify your body in Christ? Is what? Flee from immorality, okay? So here we see, already paying attention, that I think it's the main idea is because all the verbs that tell you what to do is the main idea, and everything else is telling you what? Reasons why you ought not to commit what? Sexual immorality, okay? Let's outline the passage. Okay, after, if you're following along still with me on page 7, point number 3, outline the passage. After tracing the argument, a relationship between propositions, know how this will prepare us to outline the passage, okay? So now what I'm saying, outlining, is you're preparing something to, when you go up there, you could kind of tell people where you're going, okay? It's good to give points, because why? It's easier to follow. Does that make sense? Than one long run-on discussion, okay? You give them almost like something like a, like, you know, when you hang your clothes up, there's like something you could hang on each thought at a time, okay? It's just to help track. And it's also, by the way, it keeps you from what? Being, at least for me, you guys know me enough that what happens? Did I start talking? What did I do? I start telling stories after stories, right? I could go on for on. And I'm not, anything's related. I've already walked 1,000 miles elsewhere. I'm talking one moment about my life, and next moment I'm talking about the history of China, right? And something about communism. And something else about how I don't like a certain Democratic president. Or something else, right? We go all over the place, okay? But notice, it's important to keep track, right? It's guardrails from us to go tangents, okay? And by the way, I don't know about you, whenever I speak tangent, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm going to say the wrong thing, right? I'm going to say something that I didn't think through, and I'm winging it, and I'm going to hurt somebody because I didn't think through, you know, about what I'm trying to say, okay? Or even more dangerous, if you didn't think through whether or not what you believe is biblical, right? You're winging it, okay? That's what I'm more concerned with, okay, than even the second, okay? So outlining the passage is very important, okay? Say it. Outlining?
Outlining.
The passage?
Passage.
Is very important, okay?
Very important.
How important is it?
Very important.
Okay. Okay, good. It's very important, okay? It's very important. That's good. You guys are paying attention, okay? It is very important, okay? I spend half my time with main idea and outlining, okay? By the way, when you're outlining, you're also shaving things. You ever sometimes teach? I know I was like this before. When I used to teach this Bible, I'm giving all the background. I end up preaching 40 minutes on the background of, I don't know, Thessalonica, the city, the architecture. I show pictures of Zeus. I show everything else. But at the end of the day, it's like, hey, what does that do with my life, right? You know, you end up like becoming imbalanced. So to protect that is what? This is key, okay? Main idea and what? Because the main idea, you're shaving things not related to your main idea. Does that make sense? It might be important. You might say it real quick for background, but if it doesn't support the main idea, you could go ahead and what? Shave it, okay? You start cutting things, okay? So outlining this, okay? So you want to break down all the verses into a logical section. But it helps, like I said earlier, tracking the previous point of observation earlier from the grammatical part, okay, is the basis. Remember I said tracking the argument earlier? You want to ask, how does each truth claims relate to the other? It helps you outline. The more you do the other part well, the more I think it helps you easier to outline, because you just look at it and say, oh, I see all that's connective. Wow, there's three connectives here with this, and I know I already have my 3 points. Now I just need to know what it is going on to preach each content, okay? And by the way, like I said earlier, realize this takes a longer time than most people realize, okay? Let's read again 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. How would you guys divide this passage up, okay? So you know the main idea is going to be Christians must flee from sexual immorality. But how do we divide this up? You guys could write it out. Why don't we write it out on your paper? I'm going to write it out too. I haven't even done this ahead. You guys all have sticks with ink and leads with ink? I have a laptop I could type this. Phil and Josh, would you guys be able to get the whiteboard from the other room?
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. And also bring me a marker. Thank you so much. Who here wants to be critiqued by others? Anybody want to write their main idea up there? And then we tear it apart? Daniel, would you be able to get a paper to wipe that for me? Oh, wiping the book. Thank you so much. Anyone need more time? Okay. Obviously, this is for training purposes, right?
First Corinthians
6, 18 to 20. Okay. Victor, I actually want you to go up there to write your outline. Would that be okay? You could take criticism, yes?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Right, that's kind of a loaded question. Afterward, you tell them to go out there. It's like, you can take criticism, right? It's like, oh.
Depends if it's constructive or not.
Yeah, we're hoping to have constructive criticism. Constructive and biblical.
Thank you, Victor, for taking one for the team.
Yes, thank you for being my meat puppet, right? Being up there.
Hey, where's the
I like that, how you wrote, the beginning is the main idea, right? The supporting, okay? Very good. If you could also put the verse address on there, too, for each point, is that okay?
Yeah.
For supporting points. You guys seeing what Victor's doing?
I guess it's possible if your average English grade was a C or lower.
I think it is possible. I think God will give you the supernatural gifting because I got an F and D's in English in high school. Well, mainly D's. I don't want to make it sound like it's that bad, like it's D's.
Word between one and seven.
Victor will write it out first, and then you know we'll write it. By the way, you guys could also write your own, okay?
You guys should be writing your own. Yes. What are you guys doing?
I thought that's what we were doing earlier.
Okay. Are you guys all done with yours? Everyone's?
Yeah.
He's gonna go up there. Okay, I just want to make sure, just in case. Okay. If you're not done,
I'm doing it right now. I'm not finished yet. I'm okay. Just doing it.
Oh, you're not finished yet. Whoa.
Even more impressive.
Yeah, he's doing it on a fly. This is pro, okay? Expository pro, okay? Like open air preacher status, okay? You could also look at your outline again, make sure this is really what you want to put as your final answer. Oh, whew. I thought, what was that movie?
Oh, sorry, okay. She crawled all the way over there.
Hi, Emily. Okay.
I thought she was still here from my foot.
Explore.
Okay. Victor, you're doing a good job, by the way.
I know this is probably going to get torn apart, but...
No, it's good. Yeah. This is really good. Like, I'm going to take this for Sunday... No, I'm just kidding. By the way, I think there is a big need for humility when we're teaching, okay? The best kind of humility you need to have is with yourself, even without others there. Because the Word of God is such an important duty. You don't want to be where your pride is on the way, right? You want to be able to... constantly looking at it because you know we're fallible and things could always be improving, okay? When does sermon prep end? You know when it ends? Sermon prep ends for me? It's right when I go to the pulpit. Ooh. Now, when I say this, don't get the idea, Jimmy Lee is winging things. That's not what I'm saying. You know, Jimmy Lee has no outlines. I think he only had the first page and everything else is blank. That's not what's going on, okay? That's not what I mean by that is this. But by the way, hearing the worship, is that sermon preparation? Yeah, that's preparing my heart, right? Mm-hmm. To worship God. Okay, to it goes all the way. Okay, and by the way, this paper here is not a sermon. What is this? It might be sermon notes, but it's not a sermon until what? You thunder as speaking the word of God, right? As another dying sinner to another dying sinner saved by grace to say, this is the thus says the Lord, right? And the implications that follows with that. Okay. Okay, so. Okay, very good. Very good. Okay, let's look at this. Okay, very good. Okay, here I would say Victor did a really good job, okay? This is actually the basis. If I would even say, you know what this is here? This is not a sermon yet, right? Because sermon is until you preach, right? Is it a sermon note yet? I would say no, but this is a skeleton, okay? Right? But by the way, some people only preach skeletons, right? That's almost like, have you ever been to someone's house?
Hearing voice at all.
What happened?
For the...
The cat? Oh, I'm going to cap this. No, okay. So we're gonna be with this is I would say this is the skeleton, okay? But you don't want to be like how some people. If you ever gone to someone's house, one time I did a pastoral visitation where they serve soup, but it was bones only, right? You don't want to go up there and only serve what bones, right? In your soup, you want to be able to serve what meat, right? You don't want to you say, oh, you know what? We prepare a T-bone soup. So hold it, and it's like. It's just bones, okay? It's just, so this is the... But at the same time, you need bones for what? For
structure.
Yes, okay? For structure, okay? I love how Victor does this. Without even saying it, he's writing the main idea, okay? I think Victor's been tracking very good for Sunday sermons and stuff like that. Right? The main idea is there. Is this true? Romans, 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. Is this true? Reasons why you should flee from sexual immorality. I would say yes, right? Bam, okay? My outline is I would, okay, I would say this is accurate too. Verse 18. Read verse 18. Someone read me verse 18. Wendy, would you be able to read verse 18 real quick? I'm sorry, I know people...
Yeah, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body.
Yeah, I would add B, just so that I know myself as the second half, okay? Because the first half is the main state, so it's flee immorality, right? Okay? So that's true, right? Sexual. This is the reason why, number one, is sexual sin is against your own body, okay? Point number two, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit in a...
Case? Sense, sorry.
In a sense, you're sinning against the Spirit, okay? Verse 19, okay? Oh, by the way, I forgive you because I have, what, really bad grammar too, okay? So, 19, was that true? Quoting verse 19? I'll say yes, okay? Verse 20. Is there a verse for this? Number 3, or is this pulled out from...
It's 20. It's
verse 20, 20. Okay. By the way, Victor's being on a spot, so we are gracious, okay? Because whoever decides he's not good enough, we'll have him go next, okay? So I think that's real good, and then he kind of captures the end, okay? If you think about it, you have everything for introduction. Your introduction always be, because you only have 2-3 minutes for people's attention. You always want to just tell them straight out, what are you going to do? What is this about, okay? And then point one, point two, point three, and this is conclusion, right? You drive the point home again with this. By the way, this, does it look like this? Yes, it does. Except it's applying it with what? You, right? I love that, okay? So this here is basically a really good outline, okay? But we're going to tear it up a little bit. Not because we want to tear Victor up, but this, you already have the rough stuff. But now we want to what? It's like diamond, right? In the beginning it looks like what? Just black rocks, right? That someone polished it to make it what? A sermon outline, which is the next point. Okay, if you guys look at the next part, outline the passage to apply, okay? So this is the passage. This is objectively true. So now we make the outline to apply, okay? Everything with the change in the outline, and now is you're going to make the outline to apply because why? When you speak, you're telling people what to do according to the truth of God, okay? So point, outline the passage to apply. You don't want your sermon to be a data dump, okay? You don't want to just say, you know what, guys, the word there for body is sarx. In Greek, it's sarx. And I look at sarx, what does it mean? Sarx just means sarx. You don't want to do that crazy nonsense, okay? So you want to start, applying, okay? You want to start applying, okay? So now that you have the outline, you now make it apply, an outline that applies. How do you make an application outline? First and foremost, look at your main sentence again. Victor wrote this, reasons why you should flee from sexual morality. Victor already did a good job here. Who else have also written, what's your main purpose statement for verse 18? If you've written it down. If not, that's fine.
No.
Okay. That's Eric, what did you write down?
I didn't write anything down.
Okay. Anyone?
It's flee immorality.
Okay, flee immorality. Anyone else wrote it down? Purpose statement?
Yeah, I said that, and I said you sin against your own body, which is God's temple.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, very good. Okay. I'm paying attention to pronouns. Okay. Sometimes people's purpose statement, if you're not thinking about it, you could just write, this passage is about sexual morality. But to make it apply, what do you have to say? What pronouns do you use? You and we. Okay? If you really want to drive the whole point home, you. If there's a hostile audience, I like to use we. Just to say, I'm also in need of this. Okay? You and what? We, right? You and we. Okay? So I would even make this apply, I'll look at, revisit the main sentences, reasons why you, right there, he already wrote, why you should flee from sexual immorality, okay? But since I like to tell everything of what, everything I'm doing, I like to tell him what? 3 reasons why you should flee from sexual morality, okay? So to make it applicable, I look at the main sentence and I change it to what? To preach, to apply, okay? And by the way, that will eventually shape all the others. Points, right? Because if the main idea you already give that, then you change each one to reflect that, okay? So 3 reasons why you should flee from sexual morality. To make it applicable, I think sometimes we could easily data dump. What I like to do oftentimes is ask, so what? So what? 3 reasons why you should flee from sexual morality. So what? What do you guys answer? What do you guys say? Why should we flee from sexual morality? So what?
To honor God.
Good, okay? To honor God. So that... I like to always have so that, or in order that, something, right? To honor the Lord, right? To glorify God. Doesn't verse 20 say that? To glorify, therefore glorify God, okay? So what that, okay? I like to do that just so that to make sure, to make double. By the way, even by itself, I think it's already good application. But I always like to add so that, just in case I catch myself, just especially Romans, it's so like, whoa, it's so amazing, God's grace. It's so focused on God, the third person. Instead of you, it's so that I could say, okay, so that we would do something about it, okay? Does that make sense? So it helps to have so that. Now, you might not necessarily have that, but I think it's good training wheels to have, okay? You know, when you ride a bike, you need some help in the beginning, it's good training wheels to have it. By the way, your very last paper, you see that point? The very last paper, I have it more as a training wheel, as a template. Did I have this? You know, the appendix, right? Just filling in the passage, purpose, and you see that part that says so that, is to make sure we're always applying it, okay? So after I modified my purpose statement, okay, my sermon's going to be this, okay? My whole sermon's about this. If there's something I found in my research that's not related, then I just what? I'm not going to include that because I'm going to shave. Because it's all to support this main idea, okay? Main idea. You want to be a sniper. You want to don't care anything else is going on and zoom in on that person and just shoot them, okay? You're not going to be spraying, okay? It's not machine gunning thing, okay? It's you're going to be zooming in and just hit that target with discipline, okay? Which is our heart. Which is, by the way, our battle spiritual, okay? So, for the first point. So then afterward, if you're looking at the outline to apply, likewise, now your sermon points are made to apply too. You're going to do, after this, you're going to change this to make it, what, apply. How again? Same thing. You and we. Since we already use you, guess what? Reason number one, what I like to do is actually, after this, kind of make it more uniform. What I actually did in my part, in how I worded it, just so that there's uniformity, and uniformity helps us what? Hopefully remember more, okay? So my point, the first one is you should not commit sexual immorality because you sin against your own body, okay? Verse 18, similar, but notice I begin with you, right? Is to make sure as a subject it's applying, okay? It's very clear, so it's not just the subject is sexual morality, like it's an abstract idea. Now I make it very personal by saying what? You. So I like to always begin with you, okay? Even if it's very doctrinal, I would say things like, you need to know, I don't know, Christ is God. You need to know Christ is man. You need to know Christ died for your sin. So it's always putting the human personal responsibility in the what? Front, okay? So the more you's and we's is better, okay? And in verse 19, I would change that part here, where it says your body is a temple. Now, Victor is capturing. It was very good. He's trying to summarize the whole verse. But also, I like to have it brief, just to look the same, okay? Because you're going to talk all about the whole temple, the Holy Spirit, and all of that. So you want to make it as brief. So what I wrote down is you should not commit sexual immorality because God lives in you. Just to capture the idea of the temple, you know, or because you're God's temple, okay? And then, of course, later you're going to unpack. This is a summary version. This is like when you go on Wikipedia, the very first paragraph, right? It's telling you. Then you click down to see more information. This is just telling you, okay? And then you're going to, what, expand and reveal more information later on, okay? You don't have to accomplish everything at the point, but you need to summarize. And then third point, he says you have been purchased by God at a high price. I wrote down you should not commit sexual immorality because you have been redeemed. Now, if you look at verse 20, it doesn't say the word redeemed, but the concept is there, okay? By the way, to make it more rich, that's where I'll probably, after talking about you've been brought with a price, I'll talk about the doctrine of what? Redemption, okay? But notice, if you focus on this, you would actually be quoting less Bible verses elsewhere, okay? Because sometimes, by the way, to cross-reference is an art and science, right? You don't want to be the guy that looks at one word and then goes everywhere else and you think, man, he preached a whole Bible, but never that verse. He preached a whole Bible, but not that passage. You don't want to be that yo-yo, okay? Where it's like you never preached that text, you know? So the good preaching sometimes, I think it's also okay. You know when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, they were so good, no bullets ever exited Pearl Harbor. You guys know that? That's how good it was, okay? If it's the same thing, when you want to attack, you want to focus on that passage, okay? Now, there's time for cross-referencing. Like, I would do redemption for verse 20, and then bring it up verses that shows redemption. But it's also part of the third idea. Does that make sense? Okay? The idea of redemption is God purchased you out of slavery, okay? To save you from your sin, to have a new master, okay? So notice it will be all that point, okay? And of course, this is stating the same thing as here. And I would definitely preach this as what? Ending conclusion, okay? Already there. This is my landing wheels right here, okay? For the plane, okay? So we already have the outlines here, okay? So I'm rewording things to make things what? Apply, okay? Always to apply, okay? Let's go on to the next point. Point number 5 is the 4 P's of each point, okay? Now, like I said, this is just the skeleton, okay? But I don't know about you. I kind of like meat in my soup, okay? I know, you know, it's good to have bones and stuff like that, you know, but like I kind of like to have some meat. You too, right? You guys do?
Meat's okay. Okay.
Meat is good, right? God, Jesus, Peter said what? Kill and eat, okay? Yeah, you feel me? Okay. So you got to add some meat to this, okay?
And
you got
to cream of broccoli.
Yeah, you got to add some meat to this, okay? Okay. Where do you add meat from? Where does the meat from? The word of
God,
okay? So this is where you go back into the verse, okay? And then you're now revealing all the thing that you learned before, okay? By the way, once you have this, then I start looking at all my notes. I usually have 2 documents, sermon prep. One is just all my notes of the Greek and everything and commentaries and everyone else say, and questions I have and things I answering the questions. Then I have a second sheet just so that it doesn't become too... I know that takes a long time, but I do everything by the TMS book just because I really am a stickler for doing it, you know, by the book, okay? So that what, then you transfer everything over. Then I say, oh, well, by the way, when I'm going through, I highlight already going through. Red is questions I don't have answers for. Green, blue is what? Light blue is like, oh, this is so good, I need to apply this. I need to put this here. I need to not forget later on. Okay, dark blue is, this is so important, I need to definitely, I for sure it's going to go in there. Okay, does that make sense? So then I put it all in and plug it in, and then I organize it by outlining. So the reason why I outline it, by the way, even with this, is what? Because of time, sometimes time is short, and you still need to give the main idea. So I don't go into the detail, I just summarize. I just cross it off. But if it's already outlined, then I already know, bam, 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 bam. So that no matter what, you're always landing on what? Time. Does that make sense? Because time is important, yes? Time is more important than money. Money is important, yes? But time is a resource you'll never get what? Get back, okay? Yes. So in light of that, you always land, okay? Always land, no matter what the time is. No matter how crazy the church is, hey, Pastor Jimmy, could you preach here for 20 minutes? 20 minutes? You're telling me to preach Hebrews? You'll always land at that time, okay? You'll always land on that time, okay? Or even the wedding, right? Ben and Noel was really concerned. Like, would you be able to? Now I have a mission in life. I'm going to try to practice to always get the main point and land on time, okay? To practice that, okay? So let's go on to the four P's. To each point I would often do is... I think my sermon is easy to follow. If you actually listen carefully, every sermon has a four P with my points, okay? It's very easy to remember. There's four P's. What is it? There's a point. I'll tell you what the point is, right? Point number one, you know, now that we're done with point number two is this. If you're taking notes, point number two is this. Notice I repeat again, right? So point, say the first one is, first P is point.
Point.
First P is point, okay? Second is proof. Say proof.
Proof.
What does proof mean? Is I'm showing from the scripture where I get the idea, right? For instance, the first one is sexual immorality, sinning against your own body. I'll be looking at verse 18, what I was saying. I'll be looking at that. I'll be saying things like, let's look at verse 18 real quick, okay? I'll be saying, you know, notice it says, a man commit other sin is outside the body, right? Give some example, then go on. And more man sins against his own body and say, hey, it's saying you're sinning against your own body, right? What does the word body means? Whatever else it needs to be with that, okay? Verse 19, okay, second point. So I show that from scripture because I don't want them to, in the end, I don't want to preach my point, just my sermon outline only. I want to preach the scripture, okay? So you want every point, you want to show the proof from scripture. Does that make sense? This is the proof as we talk about it, okay? So that's the second P. The third P is what? What does it say in the outline?
Picture.
What was the third P? Do you have an outline, Eric?
Picture.
Picture, right? What is that? What do I mean by picture? Do you have an outline? No, right?
Okay.
Yeah, illustration, okay? Illustration. But just so that we don't get crazy, because I know I had this problem, I love telling stories. Just don't. I once heard somebody, Mark Pagan, our friend, once says, I'd never prepare illustration. But I actually do because I'm dangerous when I make a sermon illustration on the fly, just all the time. Because why? Suddenly you start using example of people, right? Suddenly of things you didn't even think about, okay? Then all of a sudden you're in trouble. Or suddenly I'm thinking of things that I heard before, but I wasn't sure. And some later on, someone fact check, and boom, I was wrong about something, okay? So I do prepare illustration. And by the way, the reason why I prepare is just so that I don't just run my mouth, is I think there's illustration for two reasons, okay? Two reasons why you illustrate. Number one is to illustrate to explain, or illustrate to apply, okay? Illustrate to apply is to show, hey, this is what an example looks like, okay? This is what an example of following this, the practice looks like, okay? Or illustrate to explain, you know, illustrate to explain. Say, you know, hey, the people that attack Christianity is irrational. You know, you ever hear the hypocrisy argument, right? If I were to cover apologetics, you know, one point is the hypocrisy is not a good reason against Christianity, or whatever three reasons, right? Then I would give an example, illustration of what? Do we not know of any doctors that are hypocritical? Yeah, but do we rule out medical field is wrong? Then, you know, notice giving an example is illustrating to what? Defend, or specifically to explain, okay? Two reason, okay, is really, I put explanation and defense by explanation, okay? So that's that. And then what's the last part? What's the last part? What's the last P?
Practice,
okay? Because the whole point of all this is what? Is it just for people to know or to practice, to apply?
Okay? Practice, apply.
Yeah, so to apply, okay? So I'll put down a fourth thing is always, after I prove it from scripture, I illustrate it. Sometimes I move the illustration around, okay? Sometimes when I illustrate to apply, I put that last, okay? Mm-hmm. But then I practice this, okay? And say, what does this look like? What do you need to do today? What do you need to do? What does your heart look like? Of motivation for what you do, okay? So questions of applications or also very specific instruction that that requires time to think about it, okay? So I hope you see all this takes a lot of time, but I think God rewards us, okay? The more better we allow things to for people to understand, right? It's like getting the cookie and putting it in the lower cookie shelf, as one of my professor, Dr. Montoya, used to always say, right? This is what we're doing. We're teaching the Word of God. So you need to definitely show it to apply, okay? It is helpful to talk about what one can do today as application. It's also helpful to shepherd the heart, like I said, and the motivation for why you do what you do, okay? Let me stop at this point. Is there any questions?